Gyatsenkong.
16世大.
To the 16th Dharma King Karmapa. The Master Dukten Dalchi. Homage to the main deity of Homa, the Akalanata of the Central Realm, and the eight youth deities. Homage to the three jewels represented on the altar. Simu. All masters, Dharma educators, Dharma teachers, Dharma lecturers, assistant Dharma teachers, all disciples, and disciples over the internet, may all be auspicious. So the Homa today, the Homa of Akalanata is also quite different. As soon as I sat down, Akalanata appeared. As soon as he appeared, it's like a magnet. And I was sitting at the center of the altar, and when he appeared in front of me, it's like a magnet. So it has the magnetic power, that kind of power that's generated by a magnet. And attract you, the whole of you. So at that time you have feelings. You can feel, but you cannot follow each procedures of the tantra practice, like performing the great prostration, mandala offering, the fourfold refuge, the armor protection, then as if it was being stuck. So although I was conscious, but your hands and your feet would be stuck by the magnetic power. So you cannot move freely when you're performing the mudra transformation. So I could not perform the mudra transformations naturally as usual, because his magnetic field kind of tied you down. And in front of me, there was this great circle of light, and inside it appeared eight youth deities, and they are all performing the mudras, the mudra gestures. So I was just watching them performing the mudra transformation, and I don't need to do the mudra transformation myself. So after the Akalanata and the eight youth deities appeared, they were conducting this Homa, and I was like being solidified, like being stuck by the magnetic field of Akalanata, and I merged with Akalanata. So he was the one who performed the Homa. So I was going to perform the Bardo deliverance for Bardo spirits. And he just connected my hands and formed this deliverance mudra, and all the Bardo deliverance has been taken care of. And then I was thinking that I should shine great light. And he just moved a finger and shined the lights. So I cannot perform the mudra. And I was going to perform the offerings of the incense, flower, lamp, fragrances, and tea. But I just performed the mudra really fast, and that's it. And that's already taken care of. And then I said, I want to cure all the sicknesses of the sentient beings, and I want to add the respect and harmony, and to do the subjugation. And he just let you perform the mudras very simply. However, in that great mirror-like radiance, the eight great youth deities are performing all the mudras and moving around. So the mudra transformations were performed by these eight youth deities, not by me. So from the beginning, as soon as I sat down, it's like the magnet solidify you, and all the dharma is in within your body, and all the lights also within your body. And whatever you want to do, like usually I would form the mudras and to do certain things, but my hands did not listen to my command.
So
my whole body was stuck to the magnetic fields of the Akalanata and the eighth root deities. So today's Homa was conducted by them. So that's how the Homa was today. It's hard to understand. I wanted to follow the procedure. And you know that these mudras or the hand gestures have a lot of rituals. The first one, this is the common mudra of the Mahajuni Buddha Mother. And the second one is to shine great radiant light, and then offerings of the flowers, incense, lamb, tea, and fruit as offerings. But they were all performed by them, and you invite all the deities, and he just made a gesture, and all the deities descended, and with the one sound, then all the deities are descended. There is no need to perform the mudras. So the Homa today, I felt as if I didn't do it. It's conducted by them. This is also quite an unusual Homa. His magnetic field is very strong. We know that Akalanata of the central realm is the transformation body of Vairocana, of the center. So Akalanata is the transformation of Vairocana. And this time his light is radiant and shining, very luminous. And during the whole Homa, my whole self, as if it has solidified. I hope that his blessing for purification, for blessings of enrichments, subjugation, and magnetization of love and harmony, and for curing sicknesses or bardo deliverance, can be perfect. Today we will continue on chapter 9 of Hevajra, the sadhana or the practice procedure of the deity. In this book, Emptiness Within Great Bliss, there is this practice procedure of Hevajra, and you can do this practice after the empowerment. Although this procedure is simple, it contains profound meanings. In entering into Hevajra altar, you recite the purification mantras. Every time prior to a Dharma practice, whatever deity you're practicing, you need to enter into the altar of that deity. So in practicing Hevajra, you need to enter into Hevajra altar. And the Buddha image has to be Hevajra, whether it's a Tanka. Tanka would be fine. Or you use the Hevajra mandala to set up the altar, that's fine. So each deity has a different altar, but in order to practice the Hevajra Dharma practice, you need to enter into Hevajra altar. So it's not the case that you can enter into Hevajra altar whenever you want. You have to have a pure body, speech and mind. And to completely commit yourself with your heart and mind. So in entering into an altar, first you need to brush your teeth or rinse your mouth. Rinsing your mouth may not be enough. You need to brush your teeth. These days it's more advanced. Our brushing teeth is a lot more advanced. When we were young, we just used a toothbrush with toothpaste and just brush back and forth, and that would be it. But today you need to use a floss, a dental floss, between teeth, and you need to floss all the gaps between the teeth. So all the food debris needs to be cleaned. And then, I don't know what to call that. The dentist would know. Something pointed and has a little brush, and that cleans even better, and you use it to clean the in between the teeth, and then you use the toothbrush and toothpaste. That symbolizes the cleanliness or the purity of your mouth. Of course, you don't have such strict requirement in entering into the altar, but you need to wash your face or cleanse your body. Just take a quick shower. That symbolizes the purity of the body. And for your mind, you need to completely visualize the form of Hevajra. Like myself, in entering into the Akalanatha altar, I visualize the form of Akalanatha. And in my Taiwanese home, my home in Taiwan, there's Akalanatha there. Every time I entered, into the home, I would join my palms. And recite his mantra. And the eight youth deities. That's my home in Taiwan. As soon as I entered into the front door, that's the blue Akalanata holding a sword. And the eight youth deities around him. I would be able to see him as soon as I enter into the entry. At that time, you visualize Akalanata and you yourself become Akalanata. Body, speech and mind. So with regard to the mind, you don't think of any other things other than Akalanata. That means purity. At that time, in this kind of stage, when you enter the altar, that would be best. But if you're a housewife who just hit your kid, but in America you cannot hit your kid, you cannot. But if you lose your temper and you hit your kids and you enter into the altar to do your practice, although maybe you have some connection with Akalanata, because Akalanata also has great temper, but you're not purified yet when you entered into the altar. So in entering into the altar, you need to purify your body, speech and mind. That's a key point. But if there's no way for you to cleanse yourself or to rinse your mouth, then this would violate the precepts of berating. So you take it too lightly prior to your practice because you have not purified your body, speech and mind. But this violation is not so heavy, however it would influence or impact your practice. It's best if you cleanse your mouth, cleanse your face or body, wash your hands, and in your mind you visualize Hevajra, and then you enter into the altar. Prior to each practice, you need to do the same thing. Not only for Hevajra, in doing your Yidam or personal deity practice, it's also the same. So if you practice four Dharma practice, then you need to take shower four times. But there's no need. Just rinse your mouth, brush your teeth, wipe or wash your face or your body, or you can just spray perfume on yourself. Don't wear something like what Grandmaster does. Just wear something very light and loose, just like the practice robe, not something too heavy. So at the beginning of the practice, you recite the purification mantras. So that's to purify, using the mantra to purify your body, speech and mind. Prior to entering into the altar, you use the external actions to purify body, speech and mind. But then you use the mantra to purify your body, speech and mind. That's why you need to recite the purification mantras. Namo Samantong Modalam Om Dorodoro Devi Soha Om Vajinata Boho Om. So you need to recite it like that. you need to recite the purification mantras of the body, speech, and mind. And then you recite the invocation mantra. Second is recite the invocation mantra. The best. The best mantra are, the best mantra is this three syllable mantra. There are many invocation mantras. But Om Ahom is the best. It's a very good invocation mantra. Om Ahom Soha. You can use this mantra to invoke any deity. So in Tantrayana, the most important mantras are these three syllables, Om Ahom. And what Soha means is fulfill my wish. So it's in Christianity, it's like Amen, Amen, at the end of a prayer in the Christian religions. That's what Soha means, Amen. And then you invoke your lineage root guru, Hevajra, and all the deities. So in doing the Dharma practice according to the procedure, on top of your head would be seated your lineage root guru. Like every time prior to giving Dharma teaching, I would recite homage to the Venerable Mang Yao Ming, to Master Sakya Zengkong, to the 16th Dharma King Karmapa, and Master Dubden
Dachi.
So on top of my head would be seated all my gurus. So first you need to invoke your lineage root guru, and then you invoke Hevajra and all the deities, and that would comprise the whole mandala. So this invocation, at this time, already you have the Hevajra altar. Of course, in real life, Hevajra exists everywhere, but in our procedure, there is the main deity, the root guru, and the Dharma protector. So in our practice, first you visualize the deity appearing apart from you. You visualize the deity in the space, and then he descends into the altar. That's a key. First, you invoke Hevajra, form this mudra, the invocation mudra, with the hook, Vajra hook. So you hook your lineage root guru to sit on top of you, and you hook Hevajra to descend upon the altar. You use this Vajra hook. And you hook your Dharma protector and place him in the altar, and then also all the deities into your altar. So that's apart from your body. And you know, in our cultivation, there's this separation body, and then you become the deity. Generally, you let your root guru sit on top of your head, and Hevajra would reside at your heart chakra, and the Dharma protector is at the navel chakra. And all the families would be at the navel chakra. So on top your root guru, and around you your protectors. That's also another key point. So the procedure today, I need to explain it very clearly in details. So like just now, that we just reciting and we are doing something, you don't know what's behind it. So now I'm saying that in invoking your root guru, where would you place him? You place him on top of your head. And the Hevajra that you invoke, where would you place him? First he would appear in the altar and then he would enter into your heart. And all his family, place them at your navel chakra. When you transform to become Hevajra, all the family would be around you and on top would be the root guru. That's how it is. So your root guru is on top of your head, and the main deity or the personal deity is at your heart, and the Dharma protector is at the navel chakra. That's a very important key point. I never mentioned this before in the past. I never said where the Dharma protector would be. He would be at the navel chakra, and the main deity at the heart chakra, and the root guru on top of your head. That's the second section. The first section, in entering the Hevajra altar, you need to have purified body, speech and mind externally and internally by reciting the mantra. And then invocation, you need to invoke your lineage root guru Hevajra and all his family members.
And
my explanation about their placements would be clear. First, separate from your body and then entering into your body. So in doing a lot of things, there's a huge difference between doing it sincerely or seriously or haphazardly. So every time in doing everything, we need to do it wholeheartedly and put our best effort. Like when Grandmaster did this Homa, I was very serious. And so Akalanatha descended, and as soon as I sat down, I became Akalanatha. And you merge together with his magnetic field. So when Akalanatha descended, he immediately entered into your body and you became Akalanatha. And then all the procedures of the Homa were done by Akalanatha. There's no need for you to do it. So at that time, you became Akalanatha, or when you became Hevajra, then that's the same as empowerment. It's the same as empowerment. That is empowerment. Otherwise, what would empowerment be? When I place Akalanatha on top of your head, that's an empowerment, but you still are yourself. And Akalanatha is Akalanatha. But the Dharma taste did not enter into your body. But the true empowerment is the Akalanatha descended and entered into your body. That would be a true empowerment. So therefore, every time I do a practice, then that's the same as receiving one empowerment. So when you entered into the altar and performed a tantric practice, then that's the same as one empowerment. Also, another taking refuge, another empowerment. So it's not the case that you enter into the altar and you just follow the procedures and you don't feel anything. Have you received the empowerment? Did he give you empowerment? You don't know.
不过你这样修，按照仪轨这样子修，慢慢。
However,
你会感觉到那个力量出来。
Little by little, gradually, by following the procedures, you would feel the power.
给你法流灌顶了。
And you would feel that there's the Dharma flow into you, and that would be a true empowerment.
这个要看你们用不用功。用不用心
so that depends on how serious you are in doing it and how meticulous you are in doing it. But if you don't, that's not good.
你非常的用心才会得到受益的。
So you only gain benefit if you're really doing it wholeheartedly and single-mindedly. But if you're just lazy and haphazard, then I would not come. You're invoking with Guru. I don't care for your offerings. You're lazy, and you just practice once in a great while. And you don't place any new offerings. And you're smelly and lazy entering into the altar. And what would the deities do? Would the deities want to merge with you? He would be scared to death. He would run away from you. How would he want to merge with you? So you need to do all these things. You need to put your mind into it. So John asked his sister, you're so diligent. What use is that? And the sister answered, for you.
小明说,
and John said,
你用功跟我有什么关系?
You're building, what is the relevance? And the sister said,
家里啊,至少有一个人要,
because in our family,
出头,
one, at least one,
要有一个人有出息,
in the family, would make it in the world.That's the sister's answer. It's not a joke, but someone submitted this, so I have to recite, I have to read it for everyone. We're not only diligent in our study, but when becoming a doctor, you also have to be very mindful. Because you can make mistakes. If you make mistakes in curing people, that would be a problem. That's another joke. There's a surgery patient that ran away from the surgery room and tried to find the head of the hospital. And he told the doctor, the nurse said, don't be scared. Please be calm. The surgery is very simple. You have to move your knife fast and your eyes has to be steady. And don't be scared. And the head doctor said, no, that's normal. If the nurse told you that, that's fine. And the patient said, but the nurse told that to the doctor.
你看那个医生还要护士给他叮咛你不要怕不要怕
so that doctor still needs some support encouragement from the nurse then the doctor must be
a
questionable doctor so today
一定要专心
in our Buddhist practices we need to be wholehearted and single-mindedWe have to be focused and be mindful and diligent. Then only then you would receive the empowerment from the deity and only then you can merge with the deity. So every day we take refuge. So in reciting this, actually when you recite this mantra, you are taking refuge.
你每一次修法都要皈依的。
every time you do a tantric practice, then you're taking refuge. So every day I'm taking refuge. So in leaving the home, in coming home, in entering into the altar, or when I walk south, I would take refuge in the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the south. Or if I walk north, I would take refuge in the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the north, or west, or east, or at home would be the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas at the center. So every day I would take refuge and I would receive empowerment. So in entering into the altar, then the Dharma would flow into you, and that would be empowerment. So today, in performing Akalanatha Homa, his magnetic field was very powerful, holding you. That is empowerment. That was empowerment. So when your body, speech and mind are pure, that is taking refuge. This is very important. We cannot keep thinking about the stocks when we enter into the altar. Some people are invested into stocks or mutual funds, you know, because the interest rates are so low, so they use the cash to buy stocks, and they're worried about it, whether the stocks go up or down. So every day you're thinking of your stocks, and then after that you enter into the altar, you join your palms, and then you would recite, oh, the stock Buddha.
Yeah,
the stock Buddha.
请护法护持我的股票.
Oh, Dharma protector, please protect my stocks.
这股票跌的时候啊,
and when the stocks go down, that's really bad. Interest rates are so low, so you use your cash to buy stocks, that's why the stocks go up. But the companies may not have any increase in their earnings, but the stock prices have gone up, although the companies still don't make money. So that's all superficial. Please pay attention to this. If you invested in stocks, so when you buy a stock of a company, you have to make sure that the company is making money or that has future, has value, then the stock is rather stable. But if this company is losing money and the stock prices are going up, then you need to pay attention to that. So if you're invested in stocks, please be wary. Some people buy a lot of stocks and made a phone call to that company. How come your stock prices keep going down? And the receptionist asked, if you only buy a few stocks, then press 1. If it's over 100 shares, then press 2. If it's over 1,000 shares, under 100, press 1. Over 100, press 2. Over 1,000 shares, press 3.
他说按1号是什么啊? 他就问,
and then he asked, what is pressing 1 for? And then
他的回答是这样子的,
and her answer was,
小事情一件啊,
no big deal.
小事情一件啊, 问题,
small case.
啊, 小事情一件,
small problem.
以后不要再打电话,
don't call again.
按2号他回答什么?
So what's the answer when you press 2?
去找张老师谈一谈
Then you need to find
台湾有张老师,
the Mr. Zhang. Mr. Zhang is like dear Abby, you know, someone that would help resolve your problems on the phone.
按3号是回答什么?
and then the answer for pressing 3, then just go find a fortune teller.
买卖股票也要小心一点,
so in playing the stocks, please be careful. You need to make sure that the company has value or is making money. It's rather stable, then you only buy those. Otherwise, when the prices just go up superficially, then that's fake. That's just a superficial. That's all for today on Money Bearing Home.